Time now for the Yahoo Sports College Podcast with Dan Wetzel.
Kansas won. That's the over-under. One. And I'm taking the under, baby!
Pete Thamel!
In playing my role, Houston Baptist lost their OC and their quarterback.
Oh, come on!
And SI's Pat 40.
Wow. Fit Dan Wetzel for a new pair of khakis. He's on board.
Here's Pat, Pete, and Dan.
All right. Welcome to the pod. It is Memorial Day weekend. Whether you're at the real Shady Gators or your own personal Shady Gators, we hope you enjoy your weekend and thank you for including us to listen. Hey, I wanted to say this. I keep saying it at the end of our podcast. Sully's encouraging me to say it at the beginning. Our podcast, I don't know how many people listen to the end. That's the thing. Maybe listen to the beginning. A lot of you are listening at the beginning, at least, though. But we assume anybody listening to this podcast just before Memorial Day weekend is pretty much the core audience. Okay? You like the podcast. You don't stumble upon a college football podcast on May 28th or whatever this is. So we appreciate you. Our audience has been, our growth has been spectacular. We're up not just year over year, but somehow month over month, even though there's no games going on. A lot of that has to do with the stability and professionalism that Sean Sullivan has brought to us as our producer.
Amen to that.
You got it 100%. It's phenomenal. But we appreciate
keeping us on the rails.
Yeah. Keeping us on the rails, getting the show out, allowing us to do it all year round has been big. So we're not just having these big gaps in the thing. So we appreciate that. But we appreciate all of you listening. We love doing this podcast. I think I speak for all of us that it's like a awesome break in our week. Obviously, we have a good time doing it. I think you can hear. We laugh. Maybe they get tired of me. I don't know. But I enjoy it. We want to keep doing it. We plan on keeping doing it. It's not like this is going to stop. But the one way to make sure that we are able to keep doing this is continuing to grow. So we're hoping to encourage you guys to continue. I know a lot of you do it, but spread the word about this podcast. That's how podcasts grow. Tell your friends, any sharing on social media or a message board or a text or anything you can do to keep the podcast growing would be huge, because we're kind of at a really good point where it's becoming a much bigger deal than maybe we ever thought. We started this with kind of a idea we're going to do it our way, which is not necessarily the proper way. Certainly we were told it was not the proper way, but whatever. We're still here. If you could help us grow this podcast, it's like a multi-level marketing deal. And much like most of those, you don't get any money, but don't worry, neither are we.
Where you introduced the pyramid scheme, Dan?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. If you get a friend, then they, there's nothing. There's nothing at the end of this. There's nothing. But at least
we're not even
honest.
Selling energy drinks. Like it's not even.
Yeah. You're just trying to get us more listeners. But again, if you're listening on Memorial Day, I assume you like it. If you hate listen, then find more people to hate listen. I don't know.
Yeah, right. We'll take you one way or the other. Even if you sit there and say we're all idiots, that's fine.
Or you could just incite another chicken war. We're due for a new entry. So we anyone are. Who could do that. Yeah. Other than Sully, the chicken wars have really been.
We got a new entry. Popeyes with the blackened chicken.
Plus that Pringles. The Pringles.
Oh, yeah. And
we got Pringles chicken potato chips. We have a blackened chicken sandwich from Popeyes. And somebody was trying to pitch the pilot truck stop gas station chicken sandwich. I said we draw the line at gas station chicken.
There's great gas station chicken out there, Pat, but not pilot. I don't trust the Haslams to feed me anything, but...
I don't draw. You speak for yourself. I don't draw a line at anything. I mean,
okay. Well, I'm drawing the line. My line. I am not going to Pilot for a chicken sandwich.
Pilot doesn't excite me too much.
You snob, Pat.
I'm sure I'm getting worse.
Acai bowls sooner than later.
No, I'm losing this spot. All right, take back what I said. Don't listen. Don't tell anyone about this. Anyway, thank you guys for the amazing growth. It really is. It's we get these numbers and we're kind of like, really? All right. Anyway, let's talk some college sports news. And the big one that came out Thursday was two members of Congress, Chris Murphy of Connecticut and Bernie Sanders of Vermont, have introduced the College Athlete Right to Organize Act. This basically would deem any college athlete who gets a scholarship, I don't believe it even has to be a full scholarship, it would deem those athletes to be employees of their university, and then it would allow, via the amendment of the National Labor Relations Act, the opportunity to allow the athletes to bargain collectively. Multi-employer bargaining units is how it would be described. So they would be able to negotiate, create a union and negotiate across all the schools. It would not change the tax status of college athlete scholarships. So those would be still, I believe, tax-free. This is the plan out there. Now, this to the NCAA, I'm going to believe, is Armageddon. This is the last thing they want. Is unionized college athletes at all different levels of sport. College sports will be dramatically different if this goes through. I don't believe this will probably pass. I am not your congressional correspondent, but I'm guessing it probably will not make it. To rehash the same argument we've been making for years, this is what happens when you guys stand around and do nothing for years and years and years and come up with small problems that stop major progress and argue like, well, what do we do if Trevor Lawrence has a Nike deal and his school is an Adidas school or vice versa, whatever it is. And by doing nothing, next thing you know, Bernie Sanders, who is interested in one thing, and I don't believe, I've never seen much of a college sports enthusiast here, is in your business. And so they have to get this done. Commissioners, athletic directors, presidents, Mark Emmert, all of them have to do something, or this is eventually coming somehow, and maybe sooner than they can even fathom. So this is not what college athletics wants. I'm not 100% behind any of this. This is where you're at when you do nothing and invite the government to fix your problems that you just seem incapable of even addressing.
No, exactly. You guess what? You just brought this on yourself. You brought basically your worst case scenario upon yourself. Please, Congress, help us. Oh, we don't want this kind of help, Congress. Never mind. Wait a minute. Don't help us to the point where you're going to actually make college athletes employees, which if you have listened to Mark Emmert, and we all have, for years, that's been the line, and you know, the ultimate like doomsday line for him is when you go down this road and all of a sudden you become employees, then things are basically totally out of any sort of realm of college athletics or anything the NCAA envisioned or wanted or could handle. If Congress is going to get this thing to pass, which I agree with you, Dan, I think that's probably not likely. But the fact that this is been put on the table by some very prominent members of the Senate is another shot at the NCAA of like, well, you said for us to help you. Here we are. We ain't listening to you how you want us to help you, but we're taking charge here. You let us in the door, and now we're going to rearrange the furniture on you. You know, this, again, makes it all the more imperative for the NCAA to figure this thing out on terms that are not just completely out of the box for everyone. You know, they dragged their heels for decades. Then they arrived last May, like a year ago, at their big announcement, we are going to have NIL rights, and then they had no plan. The teleconference with Gene Smith and Val Ackerman and Mark Emmert, and Mark just turning to them like, well, what do you think? And they're like, well, we're working on it. I mean, it was pathetic. I mean, just the lack of concrete ideas. And so now you fill the vacuum with other ideas that maybe you don't want, but here we are.
Well, the NCAA Board of Governors just met, and they decided that Mark Emmert's not going to be extended to 2032. He's done such a good job leading them, doing nothing. As you know, this deadline is looming. I was talking to an athletic director yesterday, and I mean, we're on the precipice of the most transformative change that we'll see in college sports in this generation. You think that's fair, guys? That's not an overstatement.
Sure.
Like this, this is going to
100%.
Yeah. The person brought up a great point. They said the NCAA rule book is literally written to prevent what is about to happen, right? Like all the fundamental tenets that the NCAA and its rules have been built on are about to be reversed. It is a seismic paradigm overhaul for the industry. And they're a month away with no plan. Like, can you imagine Apple, Amazon, like they're about to like totally change their entire business structure. It's the date is essentially 1 month away and they have no idea how they're going to do it. And they're so paralyzed that they are going to let outside entities, because we've had this conversation a couple of times in recent pods, like college presidents know very little about college athletics because they're doing their job. They're running a university. They may spend 5% of their time on it. The only people who know less about college athletics than college presidents are these senators and congressmen and women who are putting together these bills. So you, Mark Emmert's whole tenure has been subletting out big decisions. Oh, there's a federal investigation into basketball. Hey, Condoleezza Rice, come on down. You take some bullets, right? It's an organization where when a problem is presented, their only reflex is to form a committee. Well, at a certain point, they have to show some backbone, some fortitude, some vision, and put together a plan. Like, there is no plan. It is galling that a billion-dollar business is on the cusp of transformative change and has no idea and no leadership to get it there.
Yeah, I mean, he gets a ton of blame here, and as does the board that protects him.
Yep.
But this is all hands on deck. If these guys are as opposed to this as they say they are, there was a lot of kick in the can down the road by a lot of people that had juice for a lot of years. There's going to be the blame should be spread dramatically. But yeah, I mean, this what probably won't pass. Probably. I mean, yeah. I don't know, right? Probably right. Won't pass. This is the idea that you just were worried about anybody making a dollar on anything and you had to hoard everything and never you fought stipends like they were an existential threat to everything, that you cried wolf on everything. The $200 a month stipend is going to kill us. Every single thing you drag your feet on. And now here you go. And it's like, if you continue this, this one may not pass, but eventually something's going to pass. And this gets bipartisan real quick. Look at these votes on NIL. Like, it started with California,
yep,
which is legislature is one political swing, and they fought and fought, and they had a lobby and they got that passed. And now every state in the country, I don't care what party controls it, these votes are like, you know, 112 votes to one in the House of the state house. So this can go really quick the other way. You can't count on what are we going to do here? Maybe this group will say no. Maybe this will say yes. There's a lot of, I think Murphy's always working with Senator Moran from Kansas on stuff that this is like one of the things they actually, you know, they agree on. These are two very different. This is something they deserve what's coming to them. But I think if it this would be one of the biggest moves getting done against in changing college athletics. And while there'll be all sorts of people complaining that the government did it, it's the NCAA did it to themselves. And yeah, the NCAA is made up of ADs and commissioners.
No doubt about it. That's the thing is, you know, this you can complain about Congress all you want, but the NCAA begged for congressional help. So again, you get what you ask for, except you may not get any control over what you ask for. And that's where we are.
All right. We want to do a little futures betting here. We're deep, deep, deep in the off season. So why not start thinking about how we can lose money in the fall? I think that's
the same totals. Degenerates listening on Memorial Day are ready to put in future bets. Like if you're sitting on the beach right now thinking about what Louisiana Tech's going to do this season, you are our people. You are our people.
And so we're here for you. So there's a win totals out there. You know, I mean, we got everything from Alabama 11.5 to Akron, 2.5, or I think Kansas is one win.
Hey, don't skip over the vaunted Minutemen. 1.5, baby.
Oh, here we go. Mm-hmm. What's the combined? Combined UMass UConn New England four. United over under?
Yes, four. They'd four. Be four total.
Okay.
Four total.
Can you parlay that? Could you parlay?
Give me the under. Give me the under.
We need our friends at BetMGM to get a New England United win total. Yeah, you can tease it down to 3.5. The New England United bet.
Get Kansas in there. 5 wins between the three. A triumvirate of suck.
Just need a bowl game from one of them, baby.
Yes. Anyway, let's do this. So this is how I want to do it, because we like to draft everything because it's a lazy gimmick. And that's what we're about here. We'll start a draft. You get first pick on which one of these bets you want to do most. And then we'll just kind of go along until we get bored with the segment. Sounds good?
Sounds good.
Okay.
That's okay. Pat, I was mad you guys talked a bunch about football in the pod that I missed. I know. When I was driving through Carolina, you made it a point to mock me, and you were like talking about like obscure Cincinnati. Like I was like, man, like this is like this. That was actually like mean, you know? Like it's like this is like the one pod I can contribute to in the off season. And
Pete's
yeah, you guys
angry
were like
didn't get to
me.
Discuss Sauce Gardner on the pod.
Yes, listen, Pete, I love Sauce Gardner.
If you want to have this is your chance. If you want to draft the Kent 5 over under, the floor is yours. What bet?
I'm not taking anybody mainstream. Come on, like
of course,
you gotta go. Just had an article about him. Come on now,
Ball State. Oh yeah, he's heavy.
Odds
on Ball
are
State.
Odds are 3-5 that Pete Fama will take the over on Ball State. We know that.
All right, Pat, I'm gonna grant you the first pick because you show up at all the podcasts, unlike some people who miss them. So you've had very good attendance lately. Go ahead.
Let it be noted. Thank you. You need something at the end of the school year for good attendance. So I appreciate that. So first pick, I am taking Iowa and the under. The total is 8.5. And Iowa is always in that realm, you know, under Kirk Ferentz. They're going to win 7, 8, 9. But 8.5 with this schedule. They open Indiana at Iowa State. Two very tough games. Could lose them both. If they're 0-2 there, then they've started poorly before and rallied. But after that, you also have Penn State from the East Division. So you've got Indiana and Penn State you've got to deal with. You are at Wisconsin. You're at Northwestern. While Northwestern's going to take a step back, that's not going to be easy. Anyway, I can very easily find 4 losable games. Indiana at Iowa State, Penn State at Wisconsin. Maybe you win one of those, and that gets you on the right side of it, but then you got to win all the rest of them. I'm going to suggest that they drop at least 4 games and end up with 8, so take the under with Iowa.
As advertised, I'm going to stay on brand. I scoured the list that Pat sent to us. The one that jumped out at me was New Mexico.
Ooh!
New Mexico at 4. So they open Houston Baptist, who's good, but they open Houston Baptist at home on a Thursday. Look forward to watching that, September 2nd. Then they have New Mexico State. They go to Texas A&M. They'll take their beating and their check. And then they're at UTEP. So I'm thinking New Mexico leaving September has got 3 wins.
Hold on. Does Houston Baptist count because it's not FBS?
Yes.
Isn't that our CVS school too?
CVS in the driveway school, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the CVS drive-through, but does it count as a in the gambling purposes?
Yeah, yeah, it's regular season win totals, right?
Is that what it says?
Yeah. Yes, regular season win totals. It's not bowl. Uh-huh. There's no conference title game. All right. Regular season win totals. Do you think Houston Baptist for swag should like hang the receipts out of the back of their helmets? You know those really long CVS receipts you get, like when you go to CVS. Like they come out, it's like tinsel, like for the Christmas tree.
You got quarterbacks wearing like towels instead of the towel. Yeah. It needs to be a CVS.
Do you think they could get some CVS receipt swag? I think that would really. Yeah. Can you imagine like the receiver running for a touchdown? He's got the receipts like dangling off his belt behind him.
That's it. Anyway. Oh, you go in, you buy antiperspirant, Tylenol, and you know, pick up a Diet Coke, and your receipt is 1.5 long. I don't get it.
Yes. Yeah. people who really don't listen to our pod are going to be like, why are they talking about CVS? Houston Baptist, I believe, is a CVS like in the parking lot of the stadium. Is that right?
No, the stadium only has one side. Mm-hmm. It has bleachers on one side of the stadium, and on the other side, the field ends, and there is a strip mall with that leads to the CVS. The CVS drive-through to the pharmacy, you could be picking up your prescription and turn and look through the passenger seat and watch the game.
And it's 3rd and 8. The CVS is part of
the stadium. It's not next to the stadium. It's where the stadium is supposed to be.
Might as well be the Buccaneers in the ship. It's basically the same thing.
That's right. Yes. Beautiful.
So this is in playing my role. Houston Baptist lost their OC and their quarterback.
Oh, come on.
The quarterback, Pat, you should know, Bailey Zapp, Z-A-P-P-E, is now at Western Kentucky. So the OC really? And the quarterback both went to Western Kentucky. The quarterback is very good. So Houston Baptist is going to roll into Albuquerque, not at the same caliber that you may have expected to see when you were picking up your prescriptions last year. All right? So I think the Lobos with Terry Wilson, because as we know in this podcast, everything comes back to the state of Kentucky, right? So Terry Wilson, the old Wildcat quarterback, is transferred to New Mexico. I certainly don't want to gift him the job over the other 5 quarterbacks who started for New Mexico last year, including a walk-on freshman in their final game. But let's just say they beat Houston Baptist, beat New Mexico State, and they win at UTEP. I think they find 2 more games in that league. I don't think that's a stretch at all. You know, UNLV obviously went winless last year. Utah State's Fresno. I think the Lobos are a tasty 4 spot there. Danny Gonzalez in year 2 of his rebuild. They play that funky 3-3-5 defense. Rocky Long is their defensive coordinator, which is worth a win in itself. Yeah, I can just see the mockery.
I am already regretting not putting parameters on this. Pete, you are now regulated to only pick Power 5 schools.
Oh, come on.
Or
the gamblers listening to this fan can make the same money.
You cannot break down the FCS opponents to that level.
Yeah, yeah. Just be like easy win, okay? All right, I'm gonna go with a big-time program here. This is tasty. Liberty 9 wins. Mm. I am taking the over on that. Mm-hmm. I am taking Malik Willis is the quarterback at Liberty. He is the Trey Lance of the 2021 season. Everyone's excited about Malik Willis. He had a very good 2020 season, former Auburn recruit. He is the quarterback down there with Hugh Freeze and the dental chair. And he is a Liberty schedule. Campbell, Troy, Old Dominion, at Syracuse, at UAB, Middle Tennessee, Louisiana Monroe, North Texas, UMass, at Ole Miss. Then they get the Raging Cajuns, and then they get Army. 9-0 heading into Ole Miss. And then can they win one of those last two?
The Hugh Freeze revenge game.
Hughes revenge game with an undefeated Liberty.
Yeah.
Could be unbelievable.
Over-under is going to be $120 in that game.
And there's probably still players in that team he lied to and said wouldn't be. There's no violations here.
I'm sure.
Yeah. They ought to at least bring in like the whoever he's calling in Tampa. She could throw out that's how Lane control.
That's. Yeah, trust me. Don't put it past Lane.
He will. Ceremonial coin flipper happens to be. I don't know where we found her. We just dialed up this number. Anyway, I'm taking the over on that. I think they can do it. That's 9. You know, might be an Army game at the end where I'm sweating it out. But right. I like Liberty and the over on that. All right, back to you, Pat.
I like that pick, I got to say. And there's so many of these that I've looked at where it's going to come down to like one game on the schedule, at least in theory. You know, it's like
Vegas has also looked at the schedule.
Yes, they have. Vegas has done their work on this. Shocking.
They also looked and were like,
Okay.
We should live pod that Liberty Ole Miss game. That would be that. Oh, those man. Are our people right there.
I can assure you. So if you're listening now because of our impassioned plea at the beginning for the first time, if nothing else, tune in the week of the Liberty Ole Miss game because
we'll debate which coach hates Pat more.
I don't know. I mean,
We can do dramatic readings of Pat's meanest Lane Kiffin column and dramatic readings of Pat's meanest Hugh Freeze columns.
Going to be good.
Yeah. There
sorry, Bobby Petrino. I don't think he got off easy.
Yeah, there are some to choose from.
That would take some serious research. Shelly's earning his paycheck that week, going back and finding all the negative columns Pat's written about you, Freeze.
All right, am I up second round here?
Second round.
Okay, I am going into Pete's backyard here, but counter-programming him. I'm going into the MAC, and I am taking Central Michigan to hit the over on 6.5.
By the way, you mock me, and then you go Liberty Central Michigan back to back.
Oh, no, yeah. All right.
Yeah, but
he's got a really good point there.
I am not going to break down the Central Michigan-Robert Morris game the way you broke down New Mexico-Houston Baptist, okay? But I am going to say that Central Michigan's going to beat Robert Morris and six other teams to get to 7 wins. They got 10 starters back on offense, 10 starters back on defense, third year for Jim McElwain. You know, he's getting more of his guys in there. He's a good MAC level coach. And I think other than Ball State, I'm not sure there's anybody on the schedule necessarily within the league that's going to be able to beat him. They'll lose to Missouri. They'll lose to LSU. They'll beat Robert Morris. They need to beat Florida International probably. And then just pick up the pieces from there and get me 7 wins. Go Chips. Fire up Chips, as they say.
Just giving that Toledo game away, huh?
I am. Yeah, I know your boy, Jason Candle. Tell him he's got bulletin board material.
To counter my reputation here, I am going to draft NC State as my next one. I think they will go over the 6 wins as predicted by our friends in the desert. They open with USF, which we're still going to assume stinks. They go to Mississippi State, which I would think they'll be favored in. NC State brings back, I believe, 17 starters from last season. Their offense drastically improved with Tim Beck back as the coordinator. Devin Leary, their quarterback, is a solid plus ACC guy. So they have the ACC's leading tackler, Peyton Wilson, the linebacker who was first team all ACC last year. NC State's left tackle is going to be a first round pick. Like they're a talented team. This could be, now Dave Doran's had some talented teams. This could be one of their better, deeper teams. They're very good on the defensive line in sort of the taffy pull behind Clemson to see who's going to be number 2 in the ACC. I think NC State at least has an argument. So I think they'll get past 6 wins fairly easily. Furman's a gimme. Louisiana Tech is never a gimme, but they should be fine. And then they got to find wins between BC at Miami, Louisville at home, at Florida State, at Wake Forest, Syracuse. You can chalk up as a win. And then they have UNC at home on Senior Day. Yeah, I don't think they'll have much trouble getting to 7. So I am going to take perpetually overlooked and underrated Wolfpack.
All right, I'm going to take Michigan. The number is 8, and I'm going to take the over.
What?
I am going to take the
really?
Over on Michigan. I think the last year was a disaster. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of it's shaded by how bad last year and the perception that Harbaugh has been a disaster at Michigan. When they are not a disaster, they just can't win the Big Ten. And there is a big gap between beating Ohio State and making a playoff or a Big Ten title and winning 8-7 games. That's what they're counting on here. All right, you look at this schedule. Now, they're going to have to count on quarterback play. They haven't had it. J.J. McCarthy's coming in as the hot shot freshman. Maybe that's it. They got Western Michigan. They got Washington at home is obviously a swing game. Then they get NIU, Rutgers. I'm looking at this as at Wisconsin is an L. At Ohio State at home is an L. Other than that, at Penn State, I don't know what kind of Penn State team there is. Northwestern lost a ton. Indiana, we'll see how good they are. I think there's plenty of places for them to get one, let alone 2 more wins in this thing. There's a bunch of fairly games they should win. I think they get to 9 wins. I certainly think they get to 8, and at least as a push. I'm not really worried about 7-5. That's why I take them. I think it's a value bet. You're gonna get your push. Maybe you get to 9. If that's 8.5, Might not make this pick, but I'm going to take the over on Michigan at 8.
Wow. Fit Dan Wetzel for a new pair of khakis. He's on board.
How about that?
Can we do a side like Bush Light bet on that, Dan?
I'll bet it. I'll bet it.
All right.
Eight is it. It's the push.
Okay.
Eight's the push. I don't think they're going 7-5. They may go 8-4, but you got to look at if you're not going to lose, it's a free bet.
Yeah. Are you playing corner?
Yeah, they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. Michigan, they get out of bed and win 7 games.
Except for last year when they won like, what, 2?
They stayed in bed.
COVID. They had COVID.
Yeah.
All right, Pete.
They just aren't that talented. When you're not talented and you don't have a defensive line, you don't have a secondary.
They're not talented at Ohio State level. They're talented by Big Ten level. They are talented. They're just not elite. 9-3 is not a great season. We're not looking. What 5 games do you think they're losing here?
Would you fire him at 9-3, Dan?
I might, but that's not the bet.
I know. I'm just
depends how that 9-3 goes. Yeah, I'm not. I'm just saying the only way you lose the bet is if they lose 5 games. They have to lose to Washington, Wisconsin, Penn State, Ohio State, and then they have to basically lose to Indiana or at Nebraska, Rutgers at home. I mean,
Rutgers was triple overtime last year, right?
Yeah, I'm counting on it. I'm just saying, 5 losses. You have to have 5 losses. That's a good bet. Michigan doesn't lose 5 games very often.
Without the hook at 8.5, at a solid 8, yes.
If it's 8.5, no.
You got a pretty good chance to at least get a push.
I can't lose at 8-4. So if they lose 4 of those games, anyway, go ahead.
Now, the interesting thing, and that somewhat, it's like basically how you and I are looking at Indiana. Okay. You look at Indiana as a win for Michigan. I look at Indiana as a loss for Iowa. Like, I'm pretty bullish on Indiana to actually continue doing what they're doing. They brought in a bunch of good transfers to go with several really talented holdovers from last year. So Indiana is going to be one of those litmus test games when we get down to deciding who gets the Bush Light after on all this later on.
No Kane Womack scares me a little there.
Yeah, well, they've had to replace some guys before on the coaching staff and done okay, but we'll see. That's a legitimate concern. All right, so third round here, I am taking the under on Auburn. Auburn's number is 7. I think if you're playing in the SEC West, I would be tempted to take the under on everybody not named Alabama just because they are going to chew each other up in most years. And then here's what you factor in. Non-conference at Penn State. I'm not sure, like Dan said, I'm not sure Penn State's great, but you go on the road into Happy Valley, 109,000 people going berserk there. I think you're going to take an L there. You're going to lose to Georgia. You're going to lose to Alabama. You're going to lose at A&M. That's 4 losses. I think you lose 1 or 2 of at LSU and at Arkansas. And don't forget Ole Miss. This is the best Ole Miss team that we've seen in a while. So, again, I'd feel better with the under, like hitting the under if it was 7.5. But even at 7, I'll go ahead and take it.
I hate to admit this, but I was going to pick them for this. Auburn the under was going to be my next pick. So I always hate it when I agree with Pat. You know, our listeners know that always scares me when we're picking games. That's a good pick. I do think there will be some Brian Harsin adjustment there too, Pat. You know, like
yeah,
just
right, exactly. Yeah,
yeah. Like there will be a learning curve for old Brian when he arrives. But I have to get us out of the mainstream here, and I am going to take Nevada over 7.5. I am very bullish on Nevada. If a bandwagon for Nevada this season could start, I would like to be at the forefront of it. Carson Strong, their quarterback. We all watched the Potato Bowl because we're degenerates, right? He torched Tulane in that bowl, and I feel like he could be the West Coast quarterback of next season that rises up and becomes a first round pick. Now, if I say a la Zach Wilson, I am not saying Carson Strong is going to be the number 2 pick in the draft, but he could be a guy who was lightly regarded going into the season or not talked about a lot, who could rise up draft boards. He's big, he's strong. They play in that air raid, really highlights his arm. He's going to have a lot of opportunities, a lot of easy throws. They also return just a lot of talent around him. There's 11 super seniors. They have two really intriguing players. Elijah Cooks, their receiver, who was hurt in the opener last year against Wyoming, is going to be back. In 2019, he had 8 touchdowns, almost 1,000 yards receiving, and they have the best tight end and another receiver who's probably the best receiver in the Mountain West. So Nevada is kind of locked, loaded, veteran. They have a really intriguing schedule. Like, don't be surprised if you wake up and they're ranked in the top 20 come the end of September. They open at Cal, and then they have Idaho State at home, and then they're at Kansas State. So a bet for them to get to 8 is based on them winning one of those two non-league games. Both Cal and K-State are probably fairly gettable. Then they go to Boise. So you could sweat this one now because they could be 1-3 on October 2nd. But I really feel like they will be the hands-down Mountain West favorites. Air Force scares me a little bit. They're another team I thought of in the over-under. Because yeah, Air Force, like, this is the year that everybody has everybody back. But Air Force has, like, everybody back. Because they had a bunch of guys basically take, like, gap years last year. Mm-hmm. So Air Force is going to be loaded. They wouldn't be a bad bet for the over. But I really feel like Nevada has the kind of roster that could really dominate the Mountain West this year. And Jay Norvell, their coach, I think will be a hot coach come the carousel next season. So I am all in cha-ching in Reno. Let's pull the handle. Go Wolf Pack.
Two different words. Pack. Yes.
Two different words. Copy editors everywhere. Shudder at the Wolf Pack.
I'm going to take LSU and the under on 8.5. Thought about Texas A&M here, talk about Florida. I think I get better value on LSU taking the losses in those games. No idea what LSU is going to be about this year. I don't know that this isn't going to carry them out of control. I don't know what Ed Orgeron can do. Huge game to start the season at UCLA. Can Chip Kelly finally get this thing going? I mean, this is a big game for Chip Kelly. Freshman Spencer James at wide receiver from All-American South Crenshaw High School. He has not made his commitment yet, so I don't know. He at one point, he was a soft commit, but then he got shot. Then he had all sorts of drama with Liv, and there's a lot going on in the show. It's a lot. I can't get into it all. But big game there. But after that, you're at Mississippi State. There's Florida, Alabama, and Texas A&M. I think that's 3 losses right there. You're at Mississippi State, at Ole Miss. I'm not sure what Arkansas is a little scary, and you've got this at UCLA game. I think they're also at Kentucky, which is interesting. There's just a whole bunch of games in there where you could lose that 4th game. And so there's a lot of bullets in the chamber that LSU could end up 8-4 or even 7-5. And I'm sitting pretty on my 8.5. So I'm taking LSU and the under.
Can we bet on LSU fans drinking the Rose Bowl dry?
Yeah, that's
of course. It's a culture. There's going to be a clash there in Pasadena.
Yes, there will be.
We have to break out the time Pat and I had to get a ride in the Pasadena Police Department prison transport. It's a true story. We were sort of locked up.
You're not going to be able to get a ride in that thing when the Tigers come to town, though.
It'll be full.
Pat and I can attest they have they will lock you in the back of a van and you're not getting out. There's no handle on that door.
No,
we
there's not.
We were technically arrested, but like we couldn't get out. So
we were put in the back with the wire mesh between us and the driver. And, no handle in the back. And,
yeah. We'll tell the whole story another time. But
a great moment at 2 a.m. outside the Rose Bowl.
The only sober people got arrested. That was the thing. 2 people were sober at the Rose Bowl that night. Pat and I in jackets and ties. And somehow we're the ones who end up in the back of the thing.
Oh, sad, sad night.
How does this happen? I'm like, of all the games I went to, this is the one? All right, well, it's a long story. We'll tell it another time. All right, Pat, who do you got?
Okay.
Round 4.
Fourth round pick. This one is a risk based on schedule, but I am taking Stanford in the over at 3.5. 3.5. I mean, that is a very small number. Their worst season in like 12 years was 2 years ago, was 4-8. So you are counting on them having their worst season in like 14 years. And they ended last year on a 4-game winning streak all on the road. I think they showed some real program character or culture or whatever buzzword you like to use. I don't expect them to be great. I mean, they lost a lot of players. They've had players transfer. They had players go pro. They're breaking in a new quarterback. And the other dicey part of this is they are playing a 12-game schedule of Power 5 competition. So, like, they got no easy outs there. Except, all right, Kansas State neutral field, I think they can win that. At Vanderbilt, I think they can win that. I think they can find two Pac-12 victories somewhere else, and there you're at four. And I will take Stanford to cover the very paltry 3.5.
I think that's a good bet. I am I'm going to take the under on Clemson, which is 11.5.
Okay.
So I'm basically going to say Clemson's not going to go undefeated.
Right.
Which is like not outlandish considering they open against Georgia, which is are there lines on that already, Sully?
-3 was Clemson was the favorite, right?
So they could well lose that game. And here's where I am on Clemson and their roster right now. They're very good, right? So this is certainly a knock on them. They bring a lot back from that from everybody back on defense, essentially, right?
Pete, how can you hate? You always hate Clemson predicting they'll go 11-1. You hate them.
Yes.
It's obvious. It's obvious.
So clear. Yes. Bias.
Yes. Post Trevor, I think they can lose an ACC game. They are much better than the rest of the ACC. I'll be very clear about that. Are they like untouchable in the ACC right now? Are they that much better? I feel like their offensive line is just okay. All right, DJ Uiagalelei is a great player. There will be a learning curve. All right. So with a mediocre offensive line and their talent is robust on defense, but I don't think it's to the level we remember it 3 or 4 years ago. I feel like there's a 15% talent drop in that program from when they were at their national title winning peak, which leaves them susceptible to losing maybe at NC State. It leaves them susceptible to, you know, they had some slobber knockers with Pitt back in the day. Pitt figured out a way to play them tough. They go to Louisville in November, you know, mess around and score 42 on them. So Wake Forest is going to be decent this year with a ton of veteran guys back. So I just feel like Clemson's going to lose a game. That's my bet. It's a pretty simple theory that they will not go undefeated.
All right, I'm going with this. Kansas 1. That's the over under. 1. And I'm taking the under, baby.
I love it. There's the true hater nature of this podcast.
Gots to. Got to take the under. I mean, if they're offering one, the smart play here is to take the over. But I'm not doing that. I'm having the fun play. It all boils down to Friday, September 3rd, when they play the South Dakota Coyotes. I mean, they're not even playing the good FCS team from South Dakota. They're ducking the good teams in the Dakotas.
That's ducking how the Jackrabbits. Ducking the Bison. Yeah.
If they do not win that game, though, at Coastal, Baylor, at Duke, at Iowa State, Tech, OU, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, at Texas, at TCU. At this point, you're just waving the white flag. West Virginia. Ofer.
Yeah. Huh? It can happen. It can absolutely happen.
That felt long just you reading it. Imagine playing that schedule with that team. Oh,
you better be jacked up for South Dakota. And yes, I expect this broadcast to be played to motivate the Kansas Jayhawks.
There you go.
Show me up, fellas. Show
Lance
me
Leipold's going to have this on an audio loop in the locker room. No doubt about
they're
it.
They're going to be like, that asshole on this podcast said we'd lose to everybody.
Yeah. I'm taking the under, baby.
Taking the under on one. That's a season ticket. That's a season ticket promotion if there ever was one. Who are these people that will spend their Labor Day weekend Friday at the Kansas-South Dakota game?
I mean, if you're from South Dakota, that's like going to Paris, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Lawrence is nice. All right.
Yeah.
Big trip. All right, should we do Kansas another City round? Airport? Or is this run its course? Lightning round.
Okay. Lightning round. Here we go.
Lightning round. We'll go quick.
Okay. Lightning round, round 5. I'm taking Northwestern and the over. It's a risk because they lost everybody. But here's the schedule to start. Michigan State, I think that's a W. Indiana State, definitely a W. At Duke, I think that's a W. Ohio, I think that's a W. So you're right there. You're 4-0 at Nebraska. Why can't they win that? 5-0. Then Rutgers comes in. You could have you could start 6-0 without even being very good. The schedule is set up. Then all you got to do is pick off one more at the end, either Purdue at home or at Illinois. And there you've got 7 wins. The number is 6.5. I think Pat Fitzgerald has built the program to a point where they're just going to be a 7-win team no matter what, and sometimes better than that. So given the schedule, given the crossover Big Ten games, give me the over on 6.5.
I don't know if that qualified as lightning, but we'll go. I'm going to take East Carolina, 4.5. I think East Carolina has been built to the point where it's a bowl team. I expect them to win 6. They start App State, neutral, South Carolina, home at Marshall. They got to win 1 of those 3. And I think they'll find some wins in the AAC, which isn't quite what it used to be. So go Holton Airs. They got 2 great tailbacks. And I am in on the Pirates.
Lightning round. I'm going to go Ohio State is 11. I'm going to take the over. I think there's a value there because there's no hook like the Clemson. Will they lose a game? I think they beat Oregon at home. That's their big one. And then you'd basically have to lose 2 Big Ten games, which does not really happen for Ohio State. I don't see it. So I love the lack of a hook there. So I'm going to take Ohio State over. They may end up 11-1, but you don't lose any money. So,
do you root for ties, Dan? Like when you watch games, do you hope teams tie?
I root for not losing money. Yes. Yeah. When I'm gambling, oh yeah, yeah, I'll take a push. You'll take a push on that. They should all really have a hook. I'm glad they don't. I'm glad they don't. All right, one last gambling bit of advice. Congratulations to our old boss at Yahoo, Dave Morgan, whose son. Well, really, congratulations to Eli Morgan. Starting Friday night for Cleveland in Major League Baseball. First start. Incredible.
Tremendous.
So amazing. I am betting on Eli delivering Cleveland a victory. Good job, my man. Good job.
How cool is that for Dave? Probably goes to Cleveland tonight, sits in the stands, buys a beer, watches his kid deal in the majors. That's pretty neat.
I am driving over. I'm going.
Are you?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's great, Dan.
Almost nothing would make me watch baseball other than Eli Morgan getting a start. I've known that kid since he was 10. I'm very excited.
Awesome.
I will be in Cleveland Friday night. Come on out and watch. Go the Cuyahoga Warriors. As we know, we're doing everything we can out here to get people vaccinated. There's a lottery. You can win $1 million in Ohio. You can get free Uber rides. You can get $10 cards here and there, whatever. They'll do anything. And credit to the great local officials in Las Vegas, Nevada, who did a very Las Vegas thing and set up in a pop-up clinic in, well, the AP's calling it a strip club. I prefer gentlemen's club. I prefer gentlemen's club. I don't think we need to, you know.
AP style? What is it?
Well, it's really not. Gentlemen might be sexist now. So I should be canceled for calling it a gentleman's club. Sorry.
Entertainment club.
The Las Vegas Ballet. Anyway, great AP headline, AP lead here. Wearing a French-made inspired lingerie costume and high heels, dancer JoJo Hamner waited patiently to get her COVID-19 vaccine in a line that snaked past a glittery hostess stand under a red light chandelier. When it was her turn, Hamner sat in a chair and held onto a small feathered duster that completed her costume while the nurse administrated the shot into her already exposed arm. She waited for observation and got back up on the stage.
All right.
This is just the most Vegas thing I've ever seen, she said. Hey, Ma, I got quoted in the AP article. Oh, really? Larry Flint's Hustler Club. They did it. This is good. We need everyone's got to play their part in the vaccine thing. But are you the guy in Vegas who says, you know, I'm resistant. I don't know. I haven't got it yet. And finally, you find out they're giving them out for free at the Hustler Club. Hon, I got to go. I'm going to go get my going to a pop-up clinic. Oh, that's great. Where is it? Don't worry about it. And then just you need like 2 hours of observation, of course.
Oh, many hours.
I was a little lightheaded. Yeah. Didn't want to drive. Very, you know. Pat, if you had not already been vaccinated, would this put you over the top?
Well, I mean, you know, you got to know your audience. And this, I think, in Vegas is especially astute. I applaud the ingenuity of it. Yeah, it's kind of like very trite now for states to offer up $1 million to like 5 people. So Vegas is going its own way and saying, you know, come down to the Hustler Club and get your shot. Hey, you know, and then, I mean, I guess you offer them some of the Magic City Wings to come back for the second shot, you know, or whatever it takes. If Lou Williams wasn't vaccinated, we know how we can get him vaccinated.
That's right.
Genius move by Vegas. Well done. I applaud you all, and I hope that everybody who goes in there comes out with a Band-Aid on their arm and nothing else that they shouldn't get there.
So can you imagine, like, the AP reporter, how giddy they are? Like, they get this assignment. I mean, you could write that story in, like, 8 minutes, right? Like, you're just, like, maybe it takes longer because you have so much material. You're, like, the chandelier. You find the stripper in the costume in line. Like, that's, like, Christmas for a reporter when you get the strip club vaccination story.
The feather duster.
Kudos
to that AP. That is, like, an all-time assignment, you know?
And the assignment is, like, I had to go. Yes. Michelle L. Price wrote it. There's another quote in here. I was going to wait. I will tell you that, said Las Vegas resident Michael Myers as he stood between a full-length picture of a naked woman and a sign promoting social distancing and other behaviors to mitigate the virus spread. Myers' wife, Lisa Harper, said he changed his mind when she told him they could both get it at the Hustler Club.
Whoa.
I said, Flint's Hustler? She said, yeah. I said, oh, let me consider. I did a story. Speaking of working in the strip club, I guess I did a story when Floyd Mayweather was fighting Conor McGregor. He said that he was hanging out at his own gentleman's club or whatever they were calling it. It's called Girl Collection, and he had his place. So he trained and go hang out there to like 3-4 in the morning. So I said, hey, can I stop by tonight? Will you talk to me if I'm there? He says, yeah. So I go to write this story of basically how Floyd Mayweather, this thing is so in the bag that he's hanging out at his gentleman's club the night before the fight. And I had to sit there and wait. I'm sitting there like, I am actually working. I actually am working. And Floyd came in, gave me an interview. It was pretty good. Then he handled Conor McGregor pretty easily. But I was like, here we go. This is an assignment that 15-year-old me would not have believed is possible.
On the expense report, did you write, you know, $20 cover?
No, the problem, and I was like trying to just like, because they're coming over. I'm like, nah, I just like, yeah. I don't know what to. This is not something.
Do you like
I
flip your laptop up and put on a fedora with press on it?
Just trying so, you know, to just like, to, yeah, just leave me alone over here. I'm waiting for Floyd. Wait, he said meet me here. He'll be here eventually. Yeah, so there you go. I don't know if he's doing the vax, but if you're in Vegas, keep an eye out. No excuses, Vegas. No excuses.
No, I mean, the Rebels are 1.5 on their win total, so you don't have much to look forward to this fall. So it's
1.5. We got to check that one out. We're going to do more of these. We got to do more of that. I hope, Sully, keep that tally. I'm feeling really good about my picks right now. All right. Enjoy Memorial Day weekend. Thank you for making us part of it. We will be back next week for more college sports talk.